Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. That's Dave. And we're here to talk about the Thunder. We're pumped up, bro, because we want to talk about Usman Jang.
Yeah, this is a subject and a topic that Mark and I have been discussing for quite a while now, waiting for the right time to drop a podcast about him because he's somebody special and somebody that we get super hyped up about. So I'm going to let Mark take it over from here because he's been doing some comps to the draft. And what he's doing, what he's saying to me, I mean, it really, really tickles my butthole. So I'm going to throw it back to him, man.
All right, so let's just put a little context. Last game, he had a career high in points and in rebounds, and it was really impressive. 17 points, I think 8 rebounds. But here's the deal, guys. He has demonstrated an ability to play on the perimeter that's uncommon for his size. And in a draft where we saw 3 players in the top 3 who are roughly his size, about 6'10", who play roughly his position, right? I think it's an appropriate time for us to take a step back and say, how does he compare to Jabari? And maybe how does he compare to Paolo? But first, let's talk about Jabari, right? Because Usman is 8 days younger than Jabari. So let's go apples to apples here. Who would you rather, if you were the Houston Rockets, would you rather Jabari or Usman? And I'm pretty sure this is the same team that, you know, has kind of doubled down on all of their mistakes. So they're not actually going to be the ones we ask. We're going to ask, if we were the Rockets, would you rather be building around Jabari or Usman? And Dave, the reason I think that Usman is far out in front of Jabari is because of he has athleticism for his position and his size that's uncommon. Now, some people might think 6'10 is 6'10, therefore it doesn't matter. But I would say that Giannis shows that that is not right. Having extreme size with extreme athletic fluidity is huge in the NBA. And both Jabari and Paolo are stiffs, bro.
You know, I really struggled at the concept that you would rather Jabari over Jang in the beginning. I'll be honest with you. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that are saying this is crazy. But the more I started breaking it down and getting into what I've seen from Jang in this, you know, sweet little season of his, and what I've seen from Jabari in quite a bit long more games, I have to say, man, in a redraft, I don't think that Jabari goes 3. All right. So that's that. You know, I don't think Jabari goes 3. I don't think Jabari goes top 7 at this point. Really? So with that being said, is that opens the door. That opens the door completely because Jabari is a great player, but it's all so raw still, even after his first NBA season. So there's so much, you know, road to go for him. But you're looking at Jang and you're saying, okay, this pieces that I'm seeing, all right, so let's just strip away everything else. Let's say that Jang is playing for a team like the New York Knicks this year, all right? We're going to see somebody that's going to be putting up 15 points a game as a rookie. And I know people are like, what? No, I'm serious, guys. Think about it. He probably starts off in the beginning of the season averaging 9 and 12 points a game, and by the end of the season, he's averaging 18 points a game, okay? Even that out, someplace in the middle between 14 and 15 points a game. So I watched Jang and I watched how he's developed, and that's if he stayed injury-free this season and playing for a shitty team. So you see that and you're like, okay, wow, those numbers are really good. Those numbers are comparable to what I would consider Jabari, because these aren't just offensive numbers, Mark, right?
Right.
These are defensive. These are rebounds. Like, he's doing a double-doubles. Then you take the time in the G League that he's had and you see what he's dominated in the G League and you're like, okay, you know, Jang is way better than we could have ever hoped for at this early at his life. He's 19 years old, guys. 19. And he's doing things that are truly insane. He doesn't turn 20 until May. So he's got a long ways to go until he's mature. But I'm saying right now is that Jang is increasing his value right now every single second. Jabari is not. You know, and I look at that and I say, that's why I have to say, Mark, is that if there was a redraft and we're able to see Jang play the entire season and play with the Thunder the entire season, right? Because we sucked and we were developing him, then we would be sitting in a position that everybody would be looking at Jang and saying he should have been a top 5 pick. Jabari is a top 7 pick at this point. So, and I get it. People are like, fuck you, Dave. No, but look at it. All right. You've got, let's just say Paolo goes number 1 still for all those shits and giggles out there. All right. Then you've got J-Dub. Then you got Chet. Then you've got, you know, Jaden Ivey would go ahead. I think you got Ben, I can't even say his last name.
Mathurin,
thank you. You got Ben Mathurin. So right there, there's what, five guys right there?
Right.
And we haven't even talked about Jabari. So, yeah, okay, six, maybe seven, all right? That's where I see Jabari going back in the redraft at this point. So my point is that I see Jang being able to raise his stock to a top five pick by before the end of the season, because we're going to be able to see him play in the playoffs, unlike Jabari, unlike Paolo.
Okay, so let's talk about, since Jabari, you're saying his stock is going down and Jang is moving up, let's go ahead and compare him to the consensus number one pick in the draft. Okay, Paolo. Or was sure. He wasn't really a consensus going into it, but now people...
No, would, Jabari was actually... Jabari was the consensus number one into like the 12th hour. I mean, I remember
Exactly. So it's a confusing situation, but Paolo's done really well. But let's just go skill by skill. Now there are some things that Paolo is better at, okay, than Jang.
Sure.
But would you pick Jang or Paolo for defense?
Oh, Jang's defense is one of the best in the drafts at this point, hands down.
Okay, because he can defend interior, he can defend wings, he's got length.
Yeah, he could even guard the five if he needs to for a quick minute.
Okay, right, and he's still just 19, so that'll be something that he develops over time, right? So exactly. He'll be a 1-5 defender.
Very, very much so.
Okay, so, and then 3-point shooting, would you rather Paolo or Jang?
Jang. I mean, like, Paolo's shooting like, what, 5% from threes right now?
Okay, passing, right, at this point, Paolo has a few, you know, really good, he knows how to handle the double team and send a cross-court pass, but he doesn't also know how to keep the ball moving within an offense. I'd say Jang understands, the European style of free-flowing basketball.
Which is what the NBA is changing more towards.
Boom. So what exactly does Paolo do better? Paolo is a better scorer, but
he dominates in the inside.
Volume of shots. That's
dominates
essentially
in the inside.
I mean, and he shoots a lot of long twos. Paolo is a very high volume, you know, outside the paint 2-point shooter, which seems to be kind of like the skill that is least coveted in the NBA these days. Not to say someone like Shea.
He's like a Zach Randolph, bro.
Right. Shea can go out there and do it extremely efficiently because he gets to the free throw line. But if you're just out there jacking up, you know, long twos at this stage in the NBA, unless you're the number one pick, you're getting benched. So ultimately, I would say that Paolo is what, like, a pure front runner, right? People love to put their money into these guys. They love to say, this guy's going to, because he's putting up 20. You know what I mean? Like, what other rookie does that? But it's also like, how is he doing it? And how much offense will this guy get as his career goes on if he doesn't develop these skills that Jang at 19 already has?
Yeah, and let's just talk about what I think we've talked about how the NBA is changing, guys, how it's becoming more of a offensive dictated game, right? In a time where all these people are focused on getting these offensive players that can put up big numbers, Sam Presti went out and got Jang, who at this point is a dominant defender, you know, like somebody that he knew he could develop into a shooter, knew he could develop into a scorer in the inside, but he wanted to draft him primarily probably because of his defense and what he was able to do at 6'10". So I look at Jang and I'm able to see him as he's maturing and as he's growing quickly. And when we drafted him, I called and totally recognizing that Victor was coming up in the league the next year. Mm-hmm. What did I call Jang? I called him
say it. You want me to say it?
Yeah, go for it.
The face of French basketball. That's what you said with Victor coming up. I mean, I remember exactly what you said.
Because there's something different about Jang, man. And we've been on the Jang train since we drafted him, because there was something about him when we were going through the draft process and recognizing what he could do with a 7-foot wingspan and 6'10". You know, like, we were like, this is not normal. He can shoot. He can play defense. The NBL was an amazing opportunity for Jang, and he grew in an incredible way. In the games that he played, in the quickness that we saw him grow from the beginning to the end, it was like, damn, this guy can straight up play. And then I knew he could do that in the NBA, but I knew that he was going to be coming in and playing more G League than the minutes than the NBA minutes, because he's 19, coming into a team that was going to be competing for a playoff position. So I knew that he was going to be put in the G League. Unfortunately, he got injured, because otherwise, I think we see these numbers all season from him. He is that much of a player that we have to stop and look at. And I going back to the defensive minded set that Sam Presti is drafting, is develop the offense, draft defense, right? J-Dub, Chet, Jang, J-Will. Think about this, guys. Josh, that's Giddy. why Jang is so important to bring everybody. He's the center of it all on this draft, guys, because if he can develop, guess what happens? This becomes the best draft class that any NBA team has ever had. Because if you have three players that become the top three picks in the draft in a redraft in 5 years, what just happened? And
sometimes one of the strongest there aren't drafts three good ever. Players in a draft, bro.
I know. Whole, and that's what I'm saying draft. Is I'm looking at the way that we're developing Jang and looking J-Dub, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, how did this just happen? If Jang is this good and he is meeting what we think and doing the things that we think he can do, how good does this make Oklahoma City?
Right.
And that's what the whole idea of what we're bringing to the table. When we say dynasty, and we don't say this lightly, when we say future dynasty team, that's what we mean, because Jang is the center of this. We know J-Dub's going to develop. We know Chet's going to develop. If Jang develops and he becomes that dude that opens the floor, that can hit that three, that can pass the ball, that can get to the hole and finish up high, what do we got? We've got maybe the best 1-2-3-4-5 combo in the last three decades.
So I just want to like look at it with Jang, right? Like, what you just mentioned, that's like, this is the whole formula of what we do here, right? Which is, if what we're seeing is true, then we have to project that into the future and kind of tell you what we think the future might look like.
We're positive people, man.
Right. So let's talk about Jang. His size for his position with his skill set. Have you ever seen a player like him?
His size and his offensive skill set, I would say, reminds me a lot of, in the way that his body is, Brandon Ingram, offensive skill set. Okay. But as far as defensive skill set, I don't know if we've seen a player of his size that's Marcus Camby, like his body frame would be similar, but Marcus Camby could block the shots like a motherfucker. So I can't really compete that to Marcus Camby, because I don't think Jang, that's his game. I think Jang's game is going to be more of getting those steals and hiding behind players and jumping out and getting steals. Like, so I don't know if we've seen a player of his defensive caliber before.
So let's think about it from a point of attack perspective of, like, you catch the ball, like, he's going to be on the perimeter on the wing a lot, right? There are two options you have to immediately decide. And then the third one is pass it out. But the first one is, can I shoot the ball? Like, are they off of me, right? So the catch and shoot is, you know, you want players who can do that. And then the second thing is, are they guarding me too close? Can I put the ball on the floor and get past my man? Jang is already outstanding at both of those skill sets. Okay. Now, some of the stuff that, you know, takes, you have to learn in the NBA, it's going to take some time. Yes, he's getting bumped off the ball, you know, certain things. But as you notice, like recently, he's finishing through contact. He's dunking the ball when he gets to the hole. And you're starting
to
look at
the foul line.
Right. You're like, he almost has Giannis length, but with a shot that Giannis could only pray for. Right. And
yeah, but he doesn't have that inside game yet. And I think that's something that he could develop with Coach Bliss.
Right. But that's like, that's the whole point, right? At this point with Jang, we have to go and take this great player and say his skill set here reminds me of this guy, and this guy over here, and this guy over here, and a little bit of this over here, and you kind of mix it up, and that's how you explain Jang, because there isn't that one guy that you go, Jang is a carbon copy of this dude, and that's the key with Jang. So I think a lot of people, when they see players like this, it makes them nervous. They're like, oh, it's hard to project. So then they back down and they just like, well, we'll just ignore him and let him establish himself before we go forward. But here's the key with him. His size, length, and skill sets actually lead me to believe next year he could reasonably score 12 to 15 points a game without really having to really press or really even get a ton of playing time, you know, probably 20 minutes or something like that. Come along slowly, taking his time. But over time, right, when he starts really attacking, when he gets out there and he's in the same mode that we're asking J-Dub to be in, which is attack, right? When he gets to that level, right, no team is going to be able to stop him. Why? Because his size and his strength and his length, they're going to have to send a double team. Just think about that. Think about that phrase, because he is going to be able to light teams up. He's going to be able to hit his shots with a hand in his face because the hand won't really be in his face. Because when he rises up, he's going to be – it's just him in the rim. And it's, that's because –
the ball releases so high.
And the main reason is because you have to put a wing on him. You can't put a perimeter – I mean an interior-orientated player on Jang, because if you do that, then you're fucked. And that's another fucking problem for defenses to have to deal with. And I don't know how it's going to like all line up. But I do know, like you're saying, Jang is more about playing passing lanes and getting steals than he is about blocking shots. Well, guess what? So is J-Dub. So is Shea. Bro, you put your arms like this across. Like, they can almost cover the entire court. At least the interior of the three-point line, just standing there touching fingers. Like, yeah. And look, I don't want to talk about guys touching fingers too much, but I just want to say, they're long, baby. They're long.
It's going to be amazing. And we appreciate every single one of you guys. See you guys tonight.